May through the written and spoken word, may we come to know the living word. Amen.
Amen.
For the last two Sundays, we've been hearing Jesus commanding the disciples, send them off. Jesus sent them two by two. Don't bring anything. Just one set of clothing. Be simple. Stay wherever people host you. And share the good news. Today we hear when they come back. They come back to Jesus and they're all excited. They're coming back and they're telling stories. We did this. We did that. We preached and people received us or didn't receive us. They're all excited. They're all enthusiastic. This is very reminiscent to me. I have a friend of mine back there. Came from Puerto Rico. We went to seminary together. And something we remind, when we went to seminary, we were sent to mission trips. And we'll come back all excited about what we had seen, the people we've met. And it was so, so full of life. And today, when the people come back, the apostles, what does Jesus tell them? Do you notice? What was it he said?
Have a rest.
It's interesting. Give it a rest. That's Beth's interpretation. Give it a rest. But yeah, they're all excited. But Jesus, in the midst of all their excitement and their enthusiasm about doing God's work, Jesus comes and tells them, stop. That's the word, is you stop. Rest. Take a time off. It is important. Come to a deserted place. Rest is not a luxury in the Bible. Rest is not something that you are privileged to have. It is a commandment. Remember the story, the myth of creation? What happens on the seventh day?
God rests.
And many of us think that's a crazy thing. Why does God need to rest? It's kind of, and it's true. It's kind of putting too much a human. But it is an important first commandment. At the beginning of everything, God rests. And it's a teaching to us. Really talking about us. In the commandments given to Moses in the mountain Sinai, one of the commandments, either the second or third, depending on how you count them, what is that? The Sabbath. And the commandment says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God, and you shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. So even immigrants got a break that day. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. In our modern society, we take for granted 5 days of work and a holiday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'd always take it for granted. In the ancient Middle East world, that was not a presumption. You worked every day. Well, if you had money, you didn't have to work. But laborers, you were not given a day off. So we have no idea how revolutionary this Jewish law was. The Greeks thought the Jewish were lazy because they had a holiday. It was unheard of that everybody, not only those who had position in society, but everyone, even the animals rested. Slaves, women and men had a rest. And the alien residents, the illegal immigrants, also had rights according to Scripture. So this was really, truly revolutionary. The commandment by God to rest, not as a luxury, not as a privilege, but as a right and a commandment to God. So when Jesus invites his disciples, who were all excited and had gone up and down, the scripture passage says, they were coming and going so much they didn't even have time to eat. And Jesus says, hold on. Hold on. Don't get so wrapped up, even in doing good things, that you forget to rest, to stop, to take leisure. And the word in Greek is beautiful. It's a word that means a good time. Eukairo. It's a good time. To have a good time. So I want us to, first of all, to think about that. Where do I live out this commandment of rest? And many times we just think of rest as Sunday, we have to go to church. That is not what it means. Meaning is to rest, to truly rest. The sacredness of a vacation, the sacredness of having nothing to do, just to be, to rest. Now, this is the problem. What happened with that rest? Jesus takes his disciples, remember that? They go on a boat, they cross over, they're on their vacation day. When they get on the other side, what happens? The people saw them when they were escaping. And they went on foot. They crossed. I imagine they were running because they got there first. And when Jesus gets down there and all the apostles, I imagine they were all looking forward to this wonderful vacation across the lake. They encounter a whole throng of people clamoring for healing, for teaching. Oh my, the vacation is ruined. There's nothing to do. Oh my God, all the people are here. And what the scripture passage tells us is Jesus just looked at them and filled with compassion. The beautiful sequence that we just sang talked about them. Compassion and kindness. Jesus was wanting to take rest, wanting to invite his apostles to rest. But when he encountered the people who were clamoring, needing, he said, they were just like sheep without a shepherd. He could not turn them away. And he started to teach them and to heal. The scripture passage jumps and then they're going on the other way around. When they get to the other side of the lake, back home, again, another throng of people were there. So it's a difficult one. What do I do? And again, as many things in church, there's not a black and white. Do this or do that. It is up to us to discern what do I have to do at this moment. The commandment is clear, to rest. We need to take time off. We need to take time for leisure, to have a good time, to stop doing the things we're doing and rest. But many times, rest doesn't come. And we have to discern what to do. Some moments, Lisa knows that. Sometimes she sends me emails in my vacation. And I said, do I respond? And sometimes I don't respond, right? And sometimes I do. Says, oh, shit, what do I do? Do I respond or not? And sometimes it's a difficult one. But Christ is telling, yes, hold on those two, intention. The importance of rest, but also the importance of compassion. There was a famous saint, it's in our Episcopal calendar, it's a Roman Catholic saint called St. Vincent de Paul. And he had a beautiful writing about what to do. And he was giving us the example, if you're in prayer and someone comes knocking at the door, a poor person asking for help. This is what he wrote. If a needy person requires medicine or other help during your prayer time, do whatever has to be done with peace of mind. Offer the good deed to help the poor to God as a prayer. Do not become upset. Don't feel guilty because you interrupted your prayer to serve the poor. God is not neglected if you leave him for such service. One of God's works is merely interrupted so that another of God's works can be carried out. So, when you leave prayer to serve some poor person, remember that this very service is performed for God. Charity is certainly greater than any rule. Again, charity is certainly greater than any rule. Moreover, all rules must lead to charity. And it's a beautiful teaching. Jesus is saying, yeah, there is a commandment to rest. And it's a commandment from God. But you break that commandment for compassion and kindness. And that was revolutionary. This is the basis of our understanding of civil disobedience. There are rules and there are laws and we have to respect them. But when a rule and a law, even coming from God, this one of the commandments, second or third commandment, I can violate that law, that rule, that commandment from God, not even think about civil law, but religious law. I'll break that law because compassion and kindness is more important. That's what St. Vincent de Paul said. Charity goes over the rule and the law. Don't worry. You're in the middle of your prayers, break the prayers. Go out and do good. Compassion and love is the most important work we're called to do and to preach about. This is what we heard in the second reading of today. He has made both groups one, has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, them and us. He, God, has abolished the law with his commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. It's a beautiful commandment. It is saying compassion and kindness over rules or law. And the whole meaning of the gospel is these two people, in that time it was the Jewish people and the Gentiles, the pagans. Nowadays, we might think, who is the two? The us and the them. And in saying, Paul, he has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances. He has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between these two groups. This is what it's all about. And it's never easy to discern, what should I do? So I want you all to hold the tension between the commandment to rest, to leisure, to have a good time, and at the same time, on the other hand, the commandment to live in compassion and in kindness to all. What role does all these play in our own lives? How are we called to go out to rest in the wilderness? How are we to pursue the commandment to live kindly and compassionate way? We might feel a little bit broken. Sometimes we don't know. Sometimes I should have responded. I should have been a bit more kind, more compassionate. Sometimes we give ourselves too much and then we're empty. We don't have time to rest. It's always complicated. We all want, oh yeah, let's give ourselves. But then when we give ourselves without any control, then we're depleted. We're exhausted. Why Jesus said, you need rest. Stop it. Hold on. Hold your horses. So those are two. And each one will answer. And many times we'll make mistakes. We'll respond unkindly. We will overextend ourselves and then just be exhausted without anything to give back. So today I want to invite you, as we come forward to Eucharist, as we receive the body and blood of Christ, the bread and the wine, and just as the disciples, the people in the towns, came and put the sick, and they said, even if I could touch the fringe of his cloak, I will be healed. I want you to come forward and to receive the bread and the wine, and as you receive it, think that you're touching the hem, the fringe of his cloak, and just saying, Jesus, give me the strength, give me the wisdom to discern the moment of rest, my Sabbath day, and also when I'm called for compassionate service. Let us pray. O Shepherd God, you call us into a rhythm of work and rest, that our lives may be better for it. So shape our leisure and our work that the world will recognize us as Jesus' disciples in our ministry, as what you have us do in the world. Amen.